The reading today can be found on page 1089 of your Pew Bibles, or 1090 in the newer versions. It's taken from the Gospel of John, beginning at chapter 20. We're going to be starting at verse 19. So that's John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Well, do keep that open, and let's bow our heads and pray and ask for God to help us as we look at that together now. The disciples said to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." And Father, we pray now that you would be at work by your Spirit as we look at your word together. Please help us to see the Lord Jesus so that we can go away from here saying, "We have seen him too." And we pray in his name and for his glory. Amen. If your leader has just been executed publicly and horribly by the political rulers of the day, it probably is quite tempting to keep your head down for a little while. Who's to say that the same people won't come after you? And so verse 19, that's exactly what we find Jesus' disciples doing. They're cowering behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. If you've been following our evening sermons or our small group studies over the last few weeks, you'll know the story so far. You'll know how the religious leaders insisted that Jesus should be killed in the worst way that they knew. And now the Sabbath is over, who's to say they won't start mopping up Jesus' disciples too? It's been a strange day for these disciples, though. Peter and John getting Mary's news early that morning. Something strange had happened at Jesus' tomb. What they'd found when they'd gone along to check, or more accurately, hadn't found. Okay, the cloths that had been bound around Jesus' body, they were there, but his body, no sign. "Can't you see," John has been saying to them all day, "he's alive, he's raised, just like he said he would be." Really? You think? I'm not sure, and it's dangerous out there. Let's just keep our heads down for a while and see what happens next. I'm going to break this morning's passage down into three chunks. Verses 19 to 23, Jesus and the disciples. Verses 24 to 28, Jesus and Thomas. And then finally, verses 29 to 31, Jesus and us. So first, 19 to 23, Jesus and the disciples. Because suddenly, end of verse 19, there he is, right among them. How did that happen? Well, we're not told. This is Jesus, who, as we saw last week, didn't bounce back out of death exactly the same as he was before, but smashed through it to new life beyond. It is Jesus. There's no question about that. As verse 20, he shows them the nail marks in his hand and the wound in his side where the soldier had pushed the spear in. But there's something different about him too. Just as an upgraded iPhone 6S can do things your old iPhone 3. Do you remember the iPhone 3? Can do things the iPhone 3 could never do. The risen Jesus can do things people our side of death can never do. The one in whom God has begun the recreation of all things doesn't fit neatly into the rules of the old creation. Does he somehow switch dimensions and just pop up there and then? Or is it that his raised, glorious body is so much more solid? It is to adore what our bodies are to something like smoke. I don't know. We're not told, but suddenly here he stands. Peace be with you, he says, as he shows them his wounds, to assure them it's him. And so, end of verse 20, their fear gives way to uncontainable joy. Now, I don't think this is necessarily John's main point in this section, but this is John, and we've been working our way through John's account of Jesus' life for a number of years in the evenings here. And one of the things that we've realized over that time is what a subtle writer John can be, how there are depths of meaning and application in almost every line John writes. And so as we read of the risen Jesus meeting his gathered people on that first day of the week, coming so close to speak peace to them, I can't help thinking John is just gently pushing home a message we read elsewhere in the Bible too. That there is something very special about gathering as God's people on the first day of the week, as we're doing right now. It is a time when the risen Jesus, who by his Spirit is always near his people, comes especially close to us. There are so many reasons why we shouldn't miss coming to church lightly, why not being here should be the exception rather than the rule. But John is reminding us one of them is this. It's not just that we miss out on the pleasure of being with one another, although that's a big thing. It means we miss out on meeting with him like this. As week by week, he comes among us to assure us of the peace that we have in him. And you notice how Jesus really stresses that peace. Verse 21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. Do you ever have meetings, maybe at work or school, or perhaps difficult family meetings from time to time, where you know it's going to be quite complicated and people there are going to be a bit all over the place and it's going to be easy to lose track of what you really want to say? So maybe you stop and you just think to yourself before you go in, what is the one thing I want to make sure they hear in this meeting? Maybe if you're very organized, you even sort of jot it down on the top of the page in your notebook or something to remind you as you go in. Well, I'm sure Jesus didn't make notes before he turned up here, but what is the big thing he wants these disciples to hear as he comes so close to meet with them? You can see, can't you? Because he says it twice, peace be with you. They must be feeling so guilty, mustn't they? This is the guy they ran away from when the leaders and the soldiers came. They couldn't get away from Jesus fast enough. And as we've already seen,